Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Romans 8. And again, I want to thank the church for the privilege of being here. And then also as well, it's been very easy to preach to this church. You have given me free course, and I always appreciate that. I have been in a place where you didn't have free course, and it's very difficult. And so we're thankful that the church here has been open, receptive, to receiving the Word of God, and that when I asked Brother Thomas, I said, do you have anything that the Lord has laid on your heart, mind, led of the Spirit for me to declare? He says, no, we'll leave it to the Spirit of God, and this is what He has given us. And so we trust that it has been needful for this body, it's been needful for me, and been needful for those who are here. But in Romans chapter 8, looking at verse 28, 29, 30, these are familiar verses. And I want to speak here last of all about essentially the finality or final or the ultimate sanctification, which is that we will be conformed to the image of Christ. In Romans 8 and verse 28, and we know, so the Holy Spirit inspires Paul to write, he doesn't say, well, we think, or we're guessing, we know. It is an absolute. The Scriptures are filled with absolutes, aren't they? The world likes to teach us that things are relative. Some things are relative. The Scriptures are not. They are absolutes. And this is an absolute, and we know. Now, again, the word we refers unto the Lord's people. We know that. The world doesn't know that. And in fact, this verse is only applicable to God's people. A lot of times folks will use this verse and they will say it to someone who's lost. That's not so. In fact, the Scriptures, there is only one thing for a lost person in the Scriptures, and that is the gospel, that they might be saved. That's it. The Scripture speaks nothing to a lost person except the gospel. That's it. But unto you and I that are saved, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified, and whom He justified, them He also glorified. And you'll notice here that the word glorified is written past tense, because, as one writer put it, he said, it is written in the past tense in the English here, because although it has yet to take place for you and I, in the mind of God, it has been assured unto us. It is going to come to pass. And every child of God desires that. From the moment that God saved us, we have desired to be like Him. And as we grow in the Lord, that desire, I believe, grows as well. And we find here, as the writer speaks in these verses, notice again verse 29, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to what? To be conformed to the image of His Son. And we understand that God predestinates unto salvation. And we find here that this predestination includes to be conformed to the image of His Son. And this is what sanctification did when it positionally sanctified us, and it's what it is doing as we are progressively sanctified, and it is what it will accomplish when we are ultimately sanctified. The word conformed means fashioned like unto. Fashioned like unto. The Scriptures tell us that the Father sanctified the Son. We read that this morning, John 10:36. And if we're going to be fashioned like unto Christ, then we too shall have to be set apart in like manner. And as Pastor Thomas and I, we were discussing here, you'll notice it's like unto. It's not we will be exactly like Him, as if we will not become deity, but we will be like Him. We will be holy, set apart, holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y. Fully set apart, fully devoted and consecrated unto Him. No distractions of any kind whatsoever. We will be completely focused. As we heard this morning on giving attendance, our minds will be completely set on Him. I have the same problem. Everybody has the same problem. You're sitting here in the church house, the Word of God is being declared, and sometimes our mind begins to wander. Like the songwriter said, we're prone to wander. And that doesn't necessarily mean physically. But when we have been ultimately and finally sanctified, there will be no wandering of any kind. None whatsoever. One writer said concerning sanctification, he said, our present sanctifications, our positional sanctification is complete, but we do not experience it in full. Our progressive sanctification, we experience it, but it will never be fulfilled completely. However, there is, and thus, there is a need of an ultimate or final sanctification wherein those whom God did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son do actually conform and experience a fulfilled separation and devotion to the Lord. We will be fashioned like unto Him. Right now, we desire that folks would see Jesus in us, and so too does the Lord. Now, they may not always, and that may be on our end, it may be on their end that they just don't see things. But the reality is that one day we will be fashioned like unto Him. Every thought is going to be brought into captivity and into subjection unto Him. We desire this because our positional sanctification, because of that initial sanctification of which God wrought. And we find further that we seek after it in the progressive sanctification as God works in, through, and upon us, but we'll never realize it fully. But one day we shall. Look over to Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55. We had some things that we said earlier this morning. And sometimes we wander off into thoughts that perhaps the Lord would not have us to wander off into. But we might say, well, why is it that God, when He positionally sanctifies us, He just doesn't finally sanctify us? And we made some comments earlier this morning. We said perhaps it's to show the exceeding sinfulness of sin as well as the great power of His grace. But what we want to read here in Isaiah 55 and verse 8 is this, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So what we find here in Scriptures is that God knows what He's doing, and what God is doing is far superior than what you or I could even think of. God's plan and purpose for sanctification is far superior. It outweighs, outmeasures anything that you and I would have thought of. And so I want to look here again at this final or ultimate sanctification. Turn, if you would, over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 23. When will this ultimate or final sanctification take place? Well, again, this ultimate final sanctification includes our entire being. I'm a trichotomist. I don't know what you all are. There's two lines of thought. There's the dichotomy and then there's the trichotomy. And I thought so, but we believe that man is like the Lord. He's three parts, if you would, not to diminish or speak ill of the Lord, but we believe he has a body, he has a soul, and he has a spirit. And the scriptures tell us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23, and the very God of peace. Now, if you remember, what was it that Jesus spoke in John chapter 20 when he went into his church? He said, peace be unto you. Here it says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And again, holy is W-H-O-L-L-Y. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body, and I understand it, this could be rendered, and I pray God your whole spirit and your whole soul and your whole body. So the entire being be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so if God is going to sanctify us and it's going to be ultimate, then it's going to have to be the entire being, isn't it? Because He delivered us as a whole person. He redeemed us. He purchased everything, not just the body, but He purchased these others as well. And so if the Lord is going to sanctify me ultimately, fully, He's going to have to set apart and consecrate my entire being. You see, this body is just a vessel that Nathaniel dwells in. And we find here that the Scriptures tell us, and we believe, that the time in which this ultimate sanctification is going to take place, I believe, is not death, but resurrection. Because the Scriptures tell us, and I know you're familiar, but let's turn over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 51. The Scriptures tell us that this is when the body is going to go from mortal to immortal, from corruption to incorruption. And we will be ultimately, finally, sanctified, set apart, consecrated unto God. Verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Now, this word changed, isn't that what God did when He sanctified us? He changed our position when He sanctified us initially, and then He's been changing us progressively since then, hasn't He? And then ultimately one day He will change us finally, completely. And it goes on into this verse 53, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Why is that? Because the unholy cannot appear in the presence of the Holy One. We can't do it. Does not the Scriptures tell us in the Old Testament, and I want to say it's Habakkuk, does it not tell us that God's eyes are of too purity to behold anything that is unholy or unclean? And give me just a moment and I'll run over there and we'll get the correct phrasing of it. Habakkuk 1 verse 13, thou art of pure eyes and to behold evil and canst not look on iniquity. So therefore the Scriptures tell us here, for this corruptible must put on incorruption and this mortal must put on immortality. We must do it. And if we must do it, it's going to have to be the Lord who does it. And so He's going to do it unto us. And again, we keep reading in verse 54, it says, so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we realize here that he's speaking of the victory over death and the grave. But we also notice, if you would, he's dealing with the time in which we will be finally set apart and consecrated unto God. When we're going to be changed and conformed completely. And it's going to happen instantly. As Paul wrote, being led of the Lord, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And we find here that the Scripture said, as verse 57, just as we've been reading all along here, it's the work of the Lord. Because he says, but thanks be to who? To God. This is the work of God to take you and I. And I will say this, no matter how far along we are in progressive sanctification, God is going to do this. You might still be a babe in Christ, but even a babe in Christ is going to be fully and ultimately sanctified just as a mature child of God is going to be. Now, there's going to be a difference at the judgment seat of Christ, but we're not dealing with that right now. He says, but thanks be to God, and notice, which giveth us the victory. And that word give, right there, the fact that it's give, it doesn't say which rewardeth us. We didn't earn this. It's a gift. Again, we said Wednesday evening that sanctification is based on God's grace. And here we find, again, God's grace in sanctification by giving us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, everything, it all comes back. It never left, but it all comes back to what? God's grace and the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is the time in which, I don't know when that time is going to be, except to say that the way things are looking and based on Scripture, it could be any moment now. That's what the Scriptures teach us to act and conduct ourselves. I'd like you to notice, if you would, regarding the ultimate sanctification or the final sanctification, that this is the desire of God's people. Look over in the Psalm, in Psalm 17. Psalm 17. I believe that these men of old, this Psalm, were understand it to be one of David's Psalm, and I think David knew a lot about sanctification. I believe he knew a lot about being set apart and devoted and consecrated unto the Lord. Not only as king, but as a child of God. And you'll notice here, notice what David says in verse 15, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Notice that, with thy likeness. That's the same thing as we read there when it says, conformed to his image, fashioned like unto his image or Christ's image. So it's his desire. I'd like you to notice here in verse 15, again of Psalm 17, David says, as for me. And when David says, as for me, or when anybody says, as for me, the idea conveyed here is that there's a difference between me and that person over there. And I reiterate that it's Christ who has made this difference. Because we didn't desire it until after God had first done a work upon us. He said, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. And then he finished up the psalm. He said, I shall be satisfied. You know what the word satisfied means? It means to be satiated. And I always use this expression. Your own, think about your Thanksgiving dinner. That's satisfied, isn't it? You are, you know, satiated or saturated with food. You're satisfied to the point you can't get nothing else in there. There is not one more thing that could be added to that meal or to your stomach. It is full. David says, I shall be satisfied, meaning future. It's going to happen. It has not yet happened. But it will happen. It is guaranteed that it is going to happen. And it is guaranteed based on God's word. And he says, I shall be satisfied when. So he's going to tell us when this is going to happen. When I awake. David understood that death was but sleep for the child of God. He says, when I awake with what? With thy likeness. With thy likeness. The child of God desires to not be like himself, but to be like Christ. We will never be satisfied until we have experienced the full setting apart and consecration of God unto himself. We too, like the creation, groaneth and travaileth, awaiting for the manifestation and unveiling of the sons of God. This is our desire, to be like Him. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. And if that is what satisfies us, then we ought not to dabble in anything else, but to cast those off and to seek after what the Lord would have us to. I'd like to notice, if you would, also concerning this ultimate sanctification, if you'll turn over to 1 John chapter 3, 1 John chapter 3, that if you're here this morning, and you have the assurance, as David had, who said, I shall be, or when I shall be, and let me flip back there as it has left me, the direct or the correct order in which he said that. David said, I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. When he said, I shall be, he was speaking of assurance, wasn't he? He had assurance that he would be satisfied, and it would be when he awaked with the likeness of the Lord. Well, if you have that assurance that one day you are going to be like the Lord Jesus Christ, fashioned like unto him, then the Bible has something to say to you right now. In 1 John chapter 3 and in verse 2, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know, there it is again, we know, that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And then I want you to notice verse 3. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. I want to explain something to you about the word hope. There's Bible hope and there's worldly hope. Worldly hope, and you'll understand this, you all being here in Alabama, every year I hope that the Michigan Wolverines will win the national championship. That's worldly hope. I don't have any guarantee. And whatever team that you're a fan of, doesn't matter how good they are, doesn't matter preseason polls, that's a worldly hope, isn't it? Because we don't have any guarantee what's going to happen, do we? We don't know. And we use that word hope and we assign it as, well, this is what I would like to happen. That's what we're saying. That's worldly hope, isn't it? That's not what the Holy Spirit, the word rendered hope here is. The word rendered hope here is complete assurance. And so what the writer is saying, and every man without exception, every man who knows that when Christ shall appear, that he shall be like him, For he shall see him as he is, every individual that hath that assurance. And if you're saved, you have it. Because God said it. Every man that hath this hope or this complete assurance in him, which is Christ in us, or the Holy Spirit in us, which is the earnest of our salvation, purifieth himself, even as he is pure. So if you are anticipating, if you believe, if the Spirit of God is in you, the earnest of our salvation, if he is in there, if you have that assurance or that hope within you, the Bible says, then you need to purify yourself even as Christ is pure. You see, the final sanctification provokes progressive sanctification. This idea that I'm positionally sanctified and one day I'll be ultimately sanctified and so nothing in between matters is not biblical. The Scriptures say if you've been positionally sanctified, then you're going to be progressively sanctified, and God is going to work on you, in you, through you, with you. And if you're going to be ultimately sanctified, then that provokes the progressive sanctification. We can't get around the progressive, can we? Because God has established that order. There is no thought and no concept in all of Scriptures, well, God saved me, and I'm just going to wait until he calls me home. And I'm going to live my life however I want. If you have the hope that he is coming again for you, the Bible says right now you should be engaged with him in a progressive sanctification of your life. That we are to purify ourselves even as he is pure. That we are to grow in grace and in knowledge of the Lord. That'll never end. Even in eternity, that'll never end. We will never fully comprehend the infinite God, will we? As Newton said, when we've been there 10,000 years, we still will not have a full comprehension of the divine being of God. Won't have it. Because he's infinite. Every man, without exception, that hath this assurance in him is to purify himself. Seems to me that if we're not purifying ourselves, it evidences that we don't have that hope within us. And that's a problem. That's what we spoke on this morning about the purifying by submitting to the Word of God. The Bible tells us, if you look over to Philippians chapter 1, Philippians chapter 1. The attitude that why bother now because I'm going to ultimately be sanctified in the end is foreign to Scripture, isn't it? The Bible says in Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ, of Jesus Christ. So, again, he began a good work in you, and he's going to perform it in you until the day of Jesus Christ, until the Lord comes again. And when the Lord comes again, he will have finished the work of sanctification. We will be fully, completely holy, set apart and consecrated unto him. And it will be a greater, and I don't know if I can say this, but I trust you'll understand the meaning. the sanctification, the consecration that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ will far outweigh the first estate that God created Adam in. It will far outweigh. Adam was made without sin, but it was not fashioned like unto Christ, was it? Not in the same way in which you and I will be. And then I want to note, last of all, concerning this ultimate and final sanctification, if you turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I want to note that the ultimate and final sanctification is dependent upon the positional sanctification. You cannot have the latter without the first. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 29, that no flesh should glory in His presence, but of Him, of the Lord, are ye, or are you, in Christ Jesus, who, that is Jesus, or Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us, who is made unto you and I that are saved, made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. I believe that in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the Holy Spirit is inspiring the Apostle Paul to write here concerning our positional sanctification in Christ. And unless you have this, you will not have progressive, but especially, you're not going to have ultimate. You will not be finally sanctified. Now, wherein does this positional or this initial sanctification, how does it come about? Well, verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. This initial sanctification that comes about by the Lord in Christ comes to pass through the preaching of the cross unto those that are unsanctified or unholy or unclean or ungodly or all of the above. And at the preaching of the cross, the Lord sees fit to draw unto the Lord Jesus Christ, and He creates faith in one that they might believe on the Lord, and He immediately sanctifies them. And then, if it be the will of the Lord, He sanctifies them progressively as they submit to scriptural baptism, adding their lamp upon the lampstand and becoming a member of the Lord's church. And then as they come and they assemble with the house of the Lord and they hear the preaching of God's Word, and they believe it, and they submit, and they receive it, and they follow the instruction that God has given unto the church, the pillar and ground of the truth, and they submit to God's Word, He continually sanctifies them, and their life, the old man is put to death, he's mortified, and the new man is put on, and they are consecrated and devoted, and their life becomes, if you would, holy unto the Lord God. Till ultimately one day the Lord returns in the air for His people and ultimately and finally sanctifies them. This series has not been one of fully exhausting the teaching of sanctification, but we pray that the Holy Spirit will use it. And if you are here this afternoon and have not received the Lord Jesus Christ, have not believed on Him as your Savior, as your sanctifier, That is the only way that Scripture declares. Because it's the Lord who sanctifies. And if God has sanctified you positionally, you need to submit to His Word and be progressively sanctified. And if you are not, then you really have no reason to believe that you will ultimately be sanctified one day. And you should examine yourself whether or not you are in the faith. But if you are being and submitting to God's Word and being progressively sanctified, then submit some more. And seek the Lord to search you out, that you may day after day after day be renewed in the Lord and become more and more like Him for His glory. That one day He will come again and change you in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and fashion you like unto the image of His dear Son. That's the desire of someone who has been saved, to be like the Lord, to be like Him. So may God help us, and may He receive the glory. May the church be edified. May saints be drawn unto Him. May the lost be pointed unto Christ, that they might be saved and sanctified by God's marvelous grace. Pastor.